Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Cecil Mann podcast, one in a limited series in which some of the biggest names in business, fitness, fashion, and more tell us about their careers, their style, their routines, their mental health, and much more. We are recording today's podcast from the lovely Kensington Hotel. Thank you very much for having us, Kensington Hotel. And bear with us if you can hear any rustling in the background. We are very grateful to be here in this lovely space. Hello and welcome to today's SL Man podcast. I'm Georgie Courage-Cole, the founder and editor of Sherlock's, and I'm joined today by the editor of SL Man, Charlotte Collins, and a very special guest. These days, you really can't refresh your Instagram feed without seeing a new workout from a new PT. Well, our guest today was one of the very first to do it, and as such is now one of the biggest fitness names in the country. Bradley Simmons is known as a trainer to the stars and has amassed 500,000 Instagram followers, has graced the front cover of Men's Health, launched his own Get It Done app, and worked with some of the biggest brands in the country. He's here today to tell us all about his journey, share his biggest life lessons, and offer all the fitness and health advice you could possibly need. Welcome, Bradley.
Thank you very much, and I'll try my best to give as much advice as I can.
Good.
We've got a lot of questions.
And we won't ask you what you had for breakfast because you said it was fruit and fibre.
There's nothing wrong with a bit of fruit and fibre in the morning.
There definitely isn't. I'm a big fan. We were discussing the excitement of when you find a good banana in there. Let's just start with your career and the fact that your goal was to be a professional footballer, but it didn't quite work out. Tell us a bit about your journey.
So I could talk for ages about my journey as a footballer, but age of 7, I signed for Chelsea Football Club, all the way to the age of 16, and then signed for Queen's Park Rangers as a professional.
How do you get to 7 and sign with Chelsea? I mean, who was pushing you to do that? Well, is football
my brother,
in the blood?
My brother was playing for Chelsea at the time. He's 6 years older than me. So I was playing on the sideline with my sister. So they saw that I had a bit of talent. And I was doing very well at the age of 5, 6. And
that is crazy. That is crazy,
isn't it?
Early.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's mad. So I was trialling at Chelsea at the age of 6. And my mum thought it was a bit too early. I had a bit of asthma as a kid. So she wanted me one more year. And at the age of 7, I signed with Chelsea. And
have other people signed for Chelsea at 7?
Yeah, they still do it now.
Really?
Yeah. The scout system starts that young.
And what does that actually mean? Like, you still go to school? Like, how does it work
in reality? You still go to school. Okay. You're training Tuesday, Thursdays, Saturdays, and you play on Sundays.
And are they paying you at that stage?
No, not that age. Some, if you're really good though, some, today's world, yeah. Like, even Nike might, or Adidas might take these youngsters on.
Oh my God, at that age?
Yeah, at that age, yeah.
So, 7, you're signed by Chelsea. Yep. You stay at school. Tell us what happened next.
So, absolutely loved it. Thought I was going to be a professional footballer. Came to GCSEs. Nah, mum, don't worry about it. I'll be a professional footballer. I don't need to study. Did okay. Still got my 8 Bs. Things didn't work at Chelsea. I was a centre back at the time. They said to me, oh, okay, you need to be around 6'2". I'm only 5'11". Went to Queen's Park Rangers.
What, you can't be a small footballer?
Well, you can be a small footballer depending on what position you play.
Okay.
So as a defender, John Terry, for example, 6'3", 6'4".
Okay.
I'm 5'11". So can't go up against that. Brilliant. So I went to Queen's Park Rangers as a midfielder. I really enjoyed it. First few months I was there, I had a really bad injury. Really bad injury. Set me back. Did my ACL, which is your main ligament in your knee. So I was out for a while. And that completely just killed my confidence. And I just couldn't get back to the player that I was, which was tough. I then went to Iceland after my 3 years at Queen's Park Rangers. So I signed professional at Queen's Park Rangers. Went to Iceland. I had 6 months in Iceland, which was really enjoyable.
What's in Iceland?
What's in Iceland? Yeah, there's loads in Iceland.
Other than the obvious. What football was in Iceland?
So they've got a league. And a lot of their players actually tend to then go to Sweden, Germany. So it was a good place to restart your career.
Got you.
I went there for fitness levels, get my fitness levels up, because their on-season is when our off-season. And it was a great place for me to learn about nutrition as well. So this is where my journey as a personal trainer came from, because I learned so much from being injured all the time, hence why it was an easy transition. So things didn't work out football. I was age of 20, broke my ankle 3 places. I thought, I said to myself, okay, footballing's done. I need to move on to plan B ASAP. A lot of kids at that time would carry on playing the lower leagues. I was ambitious. I wanted to be successful in something and be at the best at something.
And what year are we in now? How old are you, Bradley?
I'm 28.
Okay, so this is 8 years ago. And I'm just trying to kind of get a gauge of what the fitness scene looked like 8 years ago. Because you obviously then decided to become a PT, right? Yes. What was your competition? Who was your competition?
There was no competition because Instagram at that time just turned into, you can post 15-second videos. So at Instagram was just pictures.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, great, got 15-second videos. I saw Joe Wicks was smashing out like the midget trees and stuff, and that was doing really well. So I thought, Joe, what? I need to get out there on Instagram. It's a platform to grow a bigger audience. At the time, it was just to grow a bigger client base in my gym, which was in Chiswick at the time. But then I soon realized, you know what? I can go bigger here, which I did. I started training a lot of the Made in Chelsea cast, and they boosted my following massively.
So what did you do? Did you go away and get a qualification as a PT?
So I was actually.
How did you actually qualify and what did you have to do?
Yeah, so I was actually in a cast at the time because I'd broken my ankle. So this was like plan B. It was like, I need to do something. And I was a really low place. My mental health then was shot.
I was going to say, how was that?
Yeah, it was tough. It was really tough because my dream was to be a Premier League footballer. Mm. I was good enough to be a Premier League footballer. Yeah. I just had these.
Just not tall enough.
Not tall enough to be at Chelsea. And just had problems with being at QPR. But look, I had a strong family around me. And I'm a very optimistic, positive person. So I was able to bounce back. I set myself a new goal and I went for it. And that's to be one of the best personal trainers out there.
So what was the first job as a personal trainer? Was it working in this gym in Chiswick?
Yeah. I remember my interview. I was really nervous. I had to go around. I had to show a 20-minute taster after being qualified. Really nervous. They gave me the job straight away. I think in the first month, I had 30 clients.
Wow.
Yeah, I was on it.
Just through the gym?
Just through the gym. And to be fair, in my first month, I gained my first few Made in Chelsea clients. So I was 20 years of age. And I was offering free sessions to these Made in Chelsea girls.
Right, this I was going to say. So yeah.
Made in Chelsea was big at the time. A lot bigger than it is now, I guess.
It was huge.
But
that was like Binky and Spencer days. Caggy.
Yeah. Lucy Watson.
I stopped watching when Spencer and Caggy stood on a runway and cried.
Yeah.
I think that was the first episode of the second season. I was like, I'm done here with this shit.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I was training like 8 of them at the time.
But that was all girls.
Yeah, it was a lot of girls.
But that was quite enterprising of you. Like, not a lot of people were using Instagram in that way. So the fact that you were using influencers in that way. So the fact that you saw that quite early on.
Yeah, of course.
You just saw that through Instagram.
And I grew to 50,000 followers very quick.
Yeah. You can see the benefit.
And 50,000 followers them days is equivalent of 500 followers now.
So would you put your success down as a personal trainer? You know, you are one of the best known in the country.
Yeah.
Would you put that success down to being a good trainer, but also using Instagram, training the right people, you know, gifting people, comping them, whatever you call it? Was it that combination of things that has made you, you know, one of the best in the country?
Yeah, I definitely think... I had the knowledge from my previous experience being a professional footballer, learning from great conditioning coaches, strength coaches, but also having the belief in myself and the confidence, maybe a little bit of cockiness at the time, just to go for it.
Yeah.
And I've always said to myself, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah.
So before the Made Chelsea girls, I was actually asking likes of, I don't know, Victoria Beckham if they wanted to train. Didn't get an answer, but I was willing. Mm. I was willing to ask. And if you don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah.
And for me, it only took one Made Chelsea girl for my career to start.
And did it just snowball from there?
Yeah, you just get yourself out there. Word of mouth, people see your content. People want a little taste of it. My following grew. But within that following, you had Louise Redknapp, who then reached out. Do you know what I mean? Then you had John Terry that reached out because his wife, Tony, wanted to train with me. Again, that would have happened if I wasn't training these Made in Chelsea girls.
Do you think people can do that now? Or do you think you were just early enough in the sort of Instagram wave?
It's tough now because you got TikTok now, which is...
Are you TikToking?
I'm not necessarily TikToking. I'm focusing on more...
When you say TikToking in your accent, you should be.
Yeah, TikToking. I'm mainly focused on Instagram because that's where my audience is. And I think that's my age group is my audience. You have to know your audience. But of course, I'm going to start putting my Instagram Reels, for example, which is the only way you can grow your following now.
Reels.
It's mad. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So almost like the quality of your content has actually changed because people just want growth.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that the content, my favorite content is educating people. But when I do that, you don't see much growth in your following. It's mad.
Can we talk a bit about like making money in this world as a PT? Like it's really interesting. I think a lot of people listening, I'm sure there are men listening who don't really get it.
They don't get it.
Who don't really get Instagram, who don't really get how it works, who thinks it's just a load of girls posing clothes in front of the mirror, whatever it is. But it's pretty fucking powerful. And the brand partnerships that can come because of it. When you've got 500,000 followers, I mean, can you talk to us about
you know, what percentage of your income comes through brand partnerships. Do you do a lot of those versus clients? And also, how successful can you be financially as a personal trainer these days?
You can be very financially. I remember for me, when I first started to become a personal trainer, I actually Googled how much can a personal trainer make? And they said, if you're working in the city, you can make up to £75,000 a year. I thought, okay, that's decent. That's not too bad. But then having this Instagram following, of course, you have these great ambassador roles. You work with brands. I guess with your presence, you're able to maybe put your prices up as a PT. Mm. Because I was getting flown out to Monaco, to Barbados with these rich millionaires. I was able to charge what I wanted simply because.
What do you charge?
To be fair, it depends.
See, this is why I like interviewing men. You can ask these questions. Yeah, if you're a woman, I wouldn't dare ask.
No, so the most I've charged is £250 an hour.
Okay.
Depending on my client base and also depending on my postcode where I'm training.
Mm.
So I wouldn't, for example, I couldn't charge someone in Chiswick £250. Whereas I might be able to train a proper CEO who I have to go out of my way to train them in their. In their like basement, and you charge them £250, but they want to pay £250. They want to feel like they're paying the best.
Yeah,
and £250 to them is nothing. So it's a bonus for me. Yeah. But yeah, when you get flown out to Monaco, you can and train people on yachts and stuff. You can charge what you want.
Yeah, nice. Dream. Have you done that a lot?
Yeah, I've done that in the past. I've stopped that now because I'm now focusing more online. So I'm hitting a bigger audience, which obviously brings more income.
But you still have private clients?
I still have my private clients. Yeah. Some I can't say. And
So if you've got 250 quid to spend on an hour of PT, are there slots in your
diary? Yeah, I don't charge everyone £250.
Okay.
It goes from 100 to £250.
Okay. Yeah. And in terms of brand partnerships, what percentage of your income would you say comes from brand partnerships versus the training?
Well, before I started my app or developed my app, majority of it was coming from ambassador, which actually caused me a lot of anxiety.
Why?
Because I was so reliant on these ambassador roles and they could drop you anytime.
And do you go out, how have those partnerships traditionally work? Have you sought out brands that you want to work with, or have they always come to you?
So I have a management, and especially during that lockdown period, I had so many people on my case wanting to work with me, so it was a lot of competition. So for my manager, it was great. We had people bidding, but with, for example, you say I get 100 grand a year from a brand, which is great, but they want you to, they give you so many deliverables to do. So next to me, my Instagram page just turns into a billboard. It's just an advertisement board. So your engagement completely dies. So it's a tough one because like, do I earn all that really good money? Or do I stay true to myself and build my own brand?
Well, I think you've got to have a balance.
You've got to have a good balance.
And I think people know that you're an entrepreneur as well as a trainer. And I think, as long as you're putting out enough, it's what we have, as long as you're putting out enough editorial content 100%. To kind of balance the advertorial, then that's how business works.
And as long as your partnerships feel authentic to you, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So who do you work with partnership-wise? Which brands do you work with?
Do you know what? It's funny because I've actually stopped working with brands for the time being because I'm so focused on building my own brand. I felt like I was doing so much content for other brands that I was actually neglecting my own brand, which is, for me, is the long-term goal. That's going to make me very successful. Mm. Like I mentioned before, it's great working with an Under Armour, but they could drop you anytime soon. So if I can build my own brand and I never rely on someone else.
I think you need more confidence because I think Under Armour are going to drop Bradley Simmons.
I get it. You want your safety. You want to build your own safety net.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. And it's just enjoyment. Trust me, because people just assume influencers. Oh, you do a bit here, you do film there. No, I'm out there for like 6 hours filming this bit of content. Yeah. I post it and it doesn't get much engagement. Mm. Whereas I do a simple, really good educational video. It takes me literally 25 minutes and then engagement's crazy and it builds my brand, builds that trust.
For men who are listening, you know, you mentioned that not all men get Instagram. If there are people listening who don't really understand what it is you do as a personal trainer on Instagram, like, what does your content look like? What are you creating?
So I create as much educational stuff. I'm a service. I want to give people some ideas to do at the gym. I want to give them some nutritional advice. I want to give them some lifestyle advice, obviously fashion, grooming, etc. So I do get to work with some really cool brands with that as well. It's just overall health. How can you build your confidence? It's not about having a six pack. A six pack can be a bonus, but I definitely like to help people, educate people. It's quite funny. I actually get a lot of girls come up to me saying, thank you so much. I've showed your Instagram to my boyfriend and they're now improving their style. Mm-hmm. They're actually working out and it's improved our relationship. Thank you. So it's nice to get both male and female come up to me.
And it's also, again, to probably men stereotyping here, that the ones that perhaps don't use it, and it's obviously used by more women than men. But it is also an incredible marketing platform, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure...
Yeah,
I remember an interior designer telling me, this is years ago now, that she pretty much got all her jobs through Instagram. I mean, this is years ago, and I was like, wow, do you really, like, it's really converting into business. We know that now, but I still think there are a lot of people out there who don't realise how powerful. I imagine you do get, you've picked up a lot of clients along the way through it.
Oh, 100%. It is so powerful, but I think people shouldn't rely on Instagram for their income. Yeah. I think it's a great side hustle. It's a great bonus. But if you've got this following, use it and build your own brand. Build your own, which I've done with this subscription-based app, which is, I've got thousands of people training me every single day, and it's brilliant.
Can we touch on lockdown? Because you mentioned it. And obviously, we want to talk about the app, but you can't really talk about the app and the success of it without talking about lockdown, because that was, I mean, you know, for all its downsides, beneficial for businesses like yours, right?
But also, initially, like, fuck, how am I going to see my clients?
Yeah, that was the first thing. I was like, shit, how am I going to... sorry for swearing, but how am I going to earn money at first? I was like, what am I going to do? I can't train my clients. All these rules have been put in. So I quickly adapted, and I'm not just saying this. I was the first one to start doing live workouts.
Joe Wicks, who are you?
I was literally the first one to go, Joe, what? I need to do live workouts. Because I was doing a few, like, Zooms with my clients. I was bored to death because I like to interact with people. So I thought, Joe, what? I need to build something here. And to be fair, I loved it. I was training twice a day during the lockdown period. I exhausted myself, but
what,
I absolutely
personally
loved it.
You were training twice a day?
Well, I was doing a HIIT workout in the morning. I was doing a strength like midday or evening
for Instagram
live, right. And I grew over 100,000 followers during that lockdown period.
That's during the first lockdown. Such a short amount of time to grow a lot of following.
And then I raised so much, a lot of money for the NHS, which everyone was doing, and then I soon realized everyone's gaining money for NHS. There's a big problem right now with mental health, so I changed it to mental health, and Calm is a great charity, so I raised money for Calm instead. So basically, I did my workout. I said, look guys, you just got a free workout, chip in £2, £3, £5 here. You'd usually pay £25 for a workout, Barry's Bootcamp, for example. You can chip in £2, £3, and we just raised loads of money. So I knew from there I could grow my own business from that. So it was almost like a trial and...
Was the trigger for the app.
That was the trigger for the app.
And the app is called Get It Done.
Yeah.
Your signature catchphrase.
Yeah. my signature seconds before. Yeah.
It's good. Don't think about it. Just
get it done. Yeah, you say that.
Just get it done. Pay your daily rent.
Yeah,
get
exactly.
So tell us more. When did you launch it? How does it work? How many people are using it? You've referenced several thousand already.
Yeah.
What do you pay for it? Like...
Yeah.
Elevator pitch.
Yeah.
Elevator pitch. So we launched it a year after the first lockdown, because it takes a while to build an app. I thought it could be done in a month. It takes so long, and it's very expensive to do.
I was going to say, it takes a lot of time and a lot of money. Mm-hmm.
It does. And that was really frustrating, because I just wanted it out there.
Who built it for you?
It's a company called Uscreen. So we wanted to build it from scratch. I wanted to build from scratch. We got a few quotes, like 1 million, 2 million quid. Wow. I was like, what?
Seriously?
If you want to build it from scratch, your own codes and stuff. And I was like, well, I haven't got the money to do that just yet. Eventually, we'll do that, hopefully. So we was just testing out a few different companies, and a company called Uscreen came. And it was great because they offered live workouts, which is really important, because I still wanted to do that live aspect. And they built my app for me. They're great. They do a really good job. And it's smooth, it's reliable, which is really important.
So for someone who hasn't been on the app, can you tell us exactly, or what do you pay for it to start with?
So you pay £25 a month. And some people, they say it's too expensive. And I'm like, you can go to literally Nando's and you'll spend £25.
Okay, so this is your elevator pitch. What do you get for £25 a month?
So you get 6 live workouts a week currently with myself and my other head trainer, Rhiannon. We also have a yoga section. We have Pilates. We have cook-along videos as well. So there's some nutrition advice in there. And we have boxing. So we've got 7 trainers. And we offer a variety of so many different workouts. So something for everyone. And we give you a routine. So we have a great team. We have a big team, to be fair. So email. So every week you get a strong email that's going to keep you motivated. We've built a community on Facebook as well, so you can be part of that community. We're going to start now COVID is completely over, or hopefully. we're going to start building an event. We're going to start creating events for our community, our Get It Done subscribers, to meet each other. So I'm really excited with what's to come.
And you talked about Pilates and cook-alongs. Is there a physical cardio or HIIT workout every day?
So like I mentioned before, you build your audience. And my audience love high-intensity workouts. And I actually have to try and educate them. So, guys, you have to do strength as well. It's really important to do strength. So we do a good balance of strength and high-intensity workouts. Yoga, Pilates for those that are a bit beginners, but also just need to relax a little bit, maybe finding strength or high-intensity a bit too much. So there's something there for everyone. But
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Yoga and Pilates, okay? You're talking to a girl here who's just done cardio for 20 years. And finally... got the note about strength.
Yes, which you need to do.
That is now very much part of my life.
Yeah.
Yoga and Pilates. Am I okay to skip that bit?
You're okay, but there's certainly benefits to yoga and Pilates. Definitely for your core strength, flexibility, mobility.
And do you encourage your male clients to do that as well?
Yeah, I do. I have to try and encourage myself to do it because I don't necessarily enjoy it either, especially yoga.
I see you doing yoga. I did a power. You look like a footballer, not a yoga.
Yeah, but you joke, but the footballers are all doing yoga.
Are they? Yeah.
Yeah, footballers are now.
Because it depends what your issue is, right? Like if you've got posture issues or whatever, 100%. You know, you need it.
Wayne Rooney.
Yeah. Yes.
He loves a bit of yoga, it turns out. Okay.
And I did power yoga. And I actually was terrible in the class, but
it's hard.
It's tough.
It's a different.
But I enjoyed it. I love a challenge, and even if it's yoga, I love a challenge.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, it's all on there. It's £25 a month, and you've had amazing feedback. Mm-hmm. How many users have you got?
So at our highest, we had over 6,000, which was amazing.
Wow.
And I knew there would be a drop off because everyone's going back to their normal life, and the main goal for us was just to maintain as many as possible. So we've got over like 4,000 now, which is still good. So it's still doing really well.
Yeah, awesome.
We've seen a drop here and there. So now we need to adapt. As any business, you have to adapt. How can we change things? How can we keep those people engaged?
Yeah.
So we're just, it's stressful when it's your own business and you see that number drop.
But yeah.
That was going to happen. I knew that was going to happen. So it's just about getting the team together, brainstorming, and keeping people engaged.
And who is the team? You say we.
Yeah, so I have my management. So Insanity, they've looked after me when I was a footballer, and then obviously when I became a talent. And then you've got Rhiannon, who's a great trainer, and she's a brain box as well. She's built this great community at Get It Done. So we're always brainstorming, which you have to do.
And you've got nutritionists now on board.
Got nutritionists as well, which is really key. Yeah. I couldn't do everything. At first I thought I could do everything, and I say my brain was just frazzled. So you have to swallow your ego sometimes and just go, you know what, I need to bring other people on board who are going to do a better job.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's swallowing your ego. It's smart.
Yeah.
It's delegating.
Yeah, it's smart. It's working smart. Yeah.
You know, nutrition and fitness are obviously key to your life.
Yes.
Can you tell us a bit more about your own approach? What do you do personally on a daily basis? What do you eat on a daily basis?
Well, people assume I'm the sort of guy that will measure their chicken and vegetables and macros, and I'm not that type of person. For me, I eat what I want to eat. I enjoy eating really healthy, so that helps. I don't necessarily enjoy eating junk food, so that helps again. But well-balanced, high-protein, good quality sources. So I go to the butchers, I go to the fishmongers, I make sure it's good quality. And yeah, just well-balanced.
What does a typical day of eating look like?
So in the morning, I'll have my fruit and fibres. No, I change it up, to be fair. I do like eggs in the morning, high protein, good fats, which is really important. And obviously, gets my spinach in there, vegetables. I'll have a green juice, which I'm drinking right now, which is really nice. In between breakfast and lunch, I'll have a protein shake. For me, I train a lot. I'm a physical man. I need around 100 to 150 grams of protein a day. So you need to get that in.
And you can't get that in through food. You think
you can get that through
food,
but it's easier and actually sometimes less calories if you do it by a protein shake.
Okay.
So a protein shake in between that. Again, I have fish, I have chicken, rice, vegetables. Again, nice and simple. Change up the different flavors in the evening. Bit of fish, rice, vegetables again. Simple, but I change up the seasoning. I change up the sauces. I change.
You cook yourself?
I cook myself. I love cooking. My mum made me cook since age of 12. I was one of four. Got to me, my mum's like, I can't be bothered now. You go and do your thing. And it was great, I loved it.
What does an indulgent meal look like?
I love Thai foods. I absolutely love Thai
food. Do you eat a pizza as well?
Yeah,
do you
course.
Eat a Nando's? Do you eat my husband and a friend of his sat down to like some chicken Nando's set. They went, he says, it's quite healthy this, isn't it? I was like, I mean, Nando's can be healthy.
Yeah, you can definitely go healthier. If I was going to have a pizza, I wouldn't go to Domino's. I'll go to Santa Maria, for example.
Right. Is there anything you won't eat? Because you're like, I mean, I just won't eat mayonnaise. I'm just like, the world does not need tarama salata and mayonnaise.
Oh, disagree on tarama.
Really?
I mean, I love it. Don't get me wrong, but it's just not worth it. Are there anything that you're like, no? I mean, a deep fried Snickers is just a no.
Well, no. I'm
Or do you throw the rule book out the window?
No, I'll try anything in front of me, I'll try. If I don't like it, I won't have it again. I'll try anything.
And like for men, for male clients, I mean, what percentage of your clients are men versus women?
Majority of them are female, for sure, but I have trained many men. It's tougher because men, they think they know what they're doing. They literally think they know what they're doing. And
men who are into fitness think they know what they're doing?
Men into fitness, they don't like being trained by other people. They feel like they know what they're doing. But I've trained some men and they've had some great, great results. And they've gone, do you know what, I should have done this earlier. So I know you should have.
And what would you say to men? I mean, my husband, for example, hasn't got a great idea about nutrition and like, he's, you know, he's healthy, he's quite slim, but you know, he could definitely a bit more toned.
Yeah.
Keep telling him how it's made in the kitchen. But like, What is there like general advice you would give to men about eating healthier, having a more balanced diet, increasing protein? Just because I think you have to start on quite a basic level with men that aren't really so into.
Yeah. What do you wish that they knew?
I just think it's just so simple. You sit them down and just discuss a bit of nutrition. So you avoid 6 pints on a weekend. Just have 3. Do you know what I mean? Just slow it down a little bit.
Do you drink alcohol?
I do drink alcohol, but I've got mates. I can sit next to my mates having 10 pints of Guinness. I'll have 2.
Do you think booze is the biggest
booze
thing
for is
them?
The biggest one for them. Of course it is. They're stressed at work in the weekend and come to they want to relax. Around watching football stuff, beer is a way to switch off. Women like to, I guess, meditate, do yoga and stuff. For men, it is having a beer.
Mm.
Not all men, but obviously I'm just saying what I see with my friends and stuff.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
But it's coming back to basics. Slow down, reduce your portion sizes. Men feel like they can eat what they want. And there has to be a large plate because I'm a geezer, I'm big, I can eat what I want. No, slow it down, reduce your calorie intake, increase that protein intake, take your supplements, invest in your health, invest in good supplements, get your vitamin D in, get your omega-3 in, get your multivitamin tablets in, stay hydrated.
All men, those supplements?
I think supplements help, especially even if you're eating a really healthy diet, which I do, I still feel like supplements can make sure you have everything. Do you know what I mean? Because a lot of people just stick to the like broccoli and chicken and rice, for example. Especially in Britain, we're not very creative. So there's so many different macro micronutrients that we're missing out on. So definitely a good supplement.
What brand do you recommend for supplements?
So I use Well Nutrition at the minute, which is really good.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, just and strength train.
Above everything else.
Yeah, strength train, 100%. Still get your cardio and going for your runs, do your high intensity training, do a bit of boxing here and there. But if you can strength train 5 days a week, you'll see massive improvements.
But the diet's got to change
with
it, right?
Diet is massive, yeah, 100%. 80% of it is your diet, for sure. Training is the easy part.
And where do you stand on fasting, skipping meals, not eating breakfast?
It works for some people, it doesn't work for everyone. I don't think it's the magic. I think at the end of the day, if you want to lose weight, calorie deficit is the most important. It's just reducing your calorie intake, increasing the amount of calories you burn. But for intermittent fasting, it has some benefits, and it has benefits to some people, it doesn't work for others. So you have to find what works for you.
And what about sort of dairy and carbohydrates? I mean, I think, you know, if we're sort of trying to be quite simple about this, and we're saying, you know, strength train 5 days a week, take your supplements, cut down on your booze.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on dairy? Where do you stand on carbohydrates?
I think everything well balanced.
Yeah. I knew you were going to say that.
It's
a bit sugar.
Sugar, of course, reduce. Like, look, if you reduce your sugar intake, you're going to reduce some calories, right? If you reduce the amount of carbohydrates you have, you're going to reduce your calories. If you're going to reduce the amount of beer you have, you're going to reduce your calories. You're going to see an improvement. If you strength train more, if you're more active, if you get those 10,000 steps in a day, you're going to be you're going to see results, not only in your physical appearance, in your mental health, in your energy levels.
Small habits.
So it's literally small changes. It's just sitting down, figuring out what do I do, what do I need to change, seeking that investment, seeking help from a professional. They'll help you, no problem.
And what's your own training regime?
So I do my live workouts, I do my pre-recorded workouts, and I walk my dog nearly 2 hours every day. So I'm...
Jesus, what have you got?
Yeah,
So I rescued him from St. Lucia. He's a street dog. Oh. Yeah, so he's naturally just a very fit dog. Yeah. If I give him a 30-minute walk, he's just looking at me like, you having a laugh?
Yeah, that.
What was that? So I love my walks anyway. It's where I listen to my podcasts. It's where I do my phone calls. I'm quite active doing emails and stuff. So
what podcast do you listen to?
Apart from yours, obviously. Yeah, so I listen to Joe Rogan, especially with the world being a bit crazy at the minute. It's good to get different perspectives. What else do I like listen to? Loads of nutrition ones, loads of fitness ones. Can be a bit boring sometimes. I like to come sometimes switch off. But I do my own homework because I want to bring out my own podcast. So I'm constantly like the Steve, you know, Steve, is it?
Yeah, Stephen Bartlett.
I like listen to his as well. So there's loads of podcasts I listen to.
So dog walking 2 hours a day and you're doing your workouts for your lives.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, because it's your job, it's a bit of a grind sometimes to work out how do you keep the motivation?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to do it, haven't you?
Get it
done.
You've got to get it done. Thanks, Sean. And like I said, you've got practice what you preach, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And I always say this, I have to be in good shape. I love being in good shape. Mm. I prioritize being in good shape and good health. But I always say this, like, you wouldn't see a dentist with yellow teeth, right? So it's my job to stay in shape. But luckily for me, I do love it. I still play football on the weekends with my mates and my friends. I guess that's my hobby. Allows me to switch off, but it actually makes me more exhausted.
And can we just talk about the correlation to being in good shape and your mental health? Because I believe they're pretty intrinsically linked.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that everyone needs to be a size tiny, but I'm just saying I do really believe that your self-esteem is better.
100%, confidence is better.
And that massively impacts your happiness. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to us about that? Because I think, I remember talking to a guy the other day about SL Man, and there was another guy, I was at a dinner, and there was another guy saying, God, I love SL Man, it's awesome, I always wear everything there. And this other guy was like, oh, what's that? And I was like, it's the male version of Sheer Lux. And he's like, oh, no, that's not for me. I'm not really into clothes. And I kind of thought, I was like, I think you're missing something. And I was like, I think you're in your prime, you're in your 40s. I was like, you've got your whole life ahead of you. You know, you've got a good job, great wife, kids, you know, life's good. And I'm thinking, how naive that he put so little importance onto how he looked. And it just, and if I was honest, he probably
could have done with some
could
help.
Shed a few pounds and could wear some better clothes. Mm-hmm. And 100%. And I think that would do him the world of good.
Yeah. But I guess it's a tough one because if a man was to do that, he'll get, his mates would take the mickey out of him, for example.
Mm. Do you think?
Yeah, that happens. But I think for me, you take priority in yourself and then they will start copying you. So that's what you need to think.
Yeah, that'd be right. They're just jealous. Yeah,
it's a bit of jealousy. I don't know what it is, but 100% look, take care of yourself, look after yourself. When you drop like at least 2 pounds, it's such a difference.
Mm.
Like you see that weight come off your face, you see yourself in photographs, like, wow, I'm looking all right.
Yeah.
And it does, like you said, build your self-esteem. Wearing clothes that you wanted to wear, they feel good on you. Mm. You can go into the Rees, for example, or go into Hugo Boss, and you go, do you know what, I'm going to look good tonight.
Yeah.
Rather than going, I'm not in the great shape, I'll just go to Marks and Spencer's. Mm. So there's these little things, nothing wrong going to Marks and Spencer's.
No, we love a bit of Marks and Spencer's.
I've got loads of clothes from Marks and Spencer's, but what I'm trying to say
good
is,
cashmere crew,
you look after yourself, you build your confidence, and from that, you see your productivity at work, your career improves, everything improves, your relationships with your friends, your family, your partner improves, your sexual life improves, everything.
All of those things. I mean, I could not agree more. As I said, I do not think that there is enough importance placed on that. You've talked about clothes there. Can we move on to style and talk about style? I mean, what's your style? Tell us, what are you wearing today?
I'm very relaxed today. I'm in fitness clothes all the time. Obviously, what time is it now? So it's about 2 o'clock. So just keep it simple. I'm not someone that wears logos. I go to nice places to buy my clothes, but I'm not really into my logos.
Where do you shop?
I shop at, like I mentioned, Boss, Rees, Zara. Where else do I shop? A few little boutique shops, like smaller ones. But I avoid the big Gucci's, avoid the big Louis Vuitton's. Not really my style.
No.
Where do you like for sportswear?
So a great Under Armour's great. I think Lululemon's great. I was once with Adidas, they're great, of course. Yeah, it's good quality. Yeah.
Best trainers. For working out.
So
for running.
Yeah, this is where a lot of people get wrong. Don't train with running trainers on.
Okay.
Yeah, don't
so
do
what
it.
Is it? My husband's like, I need new running trainers. I'm like, do you? More?
Oh, yeah. Very different, apparently.
Really? Mm. Okay, so tell us. What is the difference?
Running trainers are designed for running, right? To protect your joints, to give you that bounce, to give you that comfortability. But
and you can't lift weights wearing the same
trainers? Well, they're particularly light, aren't they, running trainers? Yeah, versus you need something weightier to ground you.
Yeah, you can, but when you come to strength training, you need a flat sole. So, obviously, it basically targets better muscle groups. Because you've got that big back of your trainer's big foam, that's to protect your joints when you're running. When you're doing deadlifts, you're doing squats, it's not helpful. So a lot of my clients who haven't invested in trainer, I actually tell them to take their running trainers off. So they do their deadlifts, their squats, in bare feet, which is actually more beneficial than having running trainers on. So it's really important.
Is it deadlifts, squats, bare feet?
It's better to do it in your bare feet than having, let's say, ultra boots on, for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah, you get more depth into the exercise, which benefits the areas you want to improve.
Yeah, I can sort of see it's got to improve. You're going to get lower, aren't you?
And you can strain your lower back. Yeah, so it's really important. I say this to all my clients all the time.
Are there particularly good running shoes that you recommend?
Yeah, for me, I've always... Well, look, it's a tough one because I guess I wear Under Armour, but like you got the Asics, you got the Ultra Boost. They're all great trainers. So what I always say is invest. So don't... It sounds bad, but if you're going to go to Sports Direct and spend £30 on a pair of trainers, you're likely to get injuries. You're likely to get shin splints. You're likely to get sore joints. Invest, spend £140 on a pair of trainers. I know it's expensive, but it'll be more expensive going to the chiropractor or to the physio. Mm. So invest, and they'll last you a lot longer than a cheaper pair of trainers.
How many times a week should a guy run?
Not just a guy, anyone. I think you should always work on improving your fitness levels. You can definitely run 5 kilometers every day, no problem.
But do you have to? Is running so beneficial that everybody should be doing it? There's
different methods of training which is beneficial for everyone. Okay. If you want to improve strength, I think weight training is great. If you want to lose weight or improve your cardiovascular health, it's running, there's swimming, there's cycling, there's even 2-hour walks like I do, there's hiking, there's so many ways. Running's not the main thing to do, but I guess it's easier for people to slip a pair of trainers on, go for a 30-minute run, they've got good sweat on, they feel relieved, their mental health is in a better place, they've burnt 500 calories, they see their weight drop. It's easy to do and it doesn't cost anything, right?
Mm. But to change your body, it's changed your diet and strength,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course. I think, if you really want to see good results, I think a good mixture of strength training, cardio, good nutrition, and cutting out the rubbish in your life.
And cardio to strength, what is your ratio?
Depends on the individual and their body type, for example. But I would say if you're going to train 5 times a week, focus on 3 strength sessions and 2 cardio. Because in those strength sessions, you're still burning calories. Your heart rate's still going to be increased. Mm. So,
can we go back to product? What gadgets? Fitness gadgets. Do you have? Do you swear by? Are there any?
Well, I've got one on right now. It's my smartwatch.
Yeah.
So this Apple Watch. This allows me to track how many calories I'm burning.
Well, what have you done today?
So I've currently burnt 770 calories. So I've burnt 500 calories this morning through my high intensity workout within my subscribers, which was intense. I only gave my dog a quick 20-minute walk, which he wasn't happy about. and I just walking, being active. You get your steps up, you burn calories.
Do you look at that every day and do you respond to it? If it's down, do you actually then make a change?
I set myself a goal of burn 1,000 calories a day. So my body naturally burns 1,900 calories a day. That's through doing nothing, through digestion, through breathing.
And what's the average person?
The average person... Well, it's tough because everyone's so individual. So I think the average person, I guess I'm averagely, my height is 5'11", average height is 5'8" for a man. So probably about 1,700 calories they would burn on average. It's a tough one to say because everyone's so different.
Yeah.
Bigger you are, more weight you are, the more calories you're going to burn. Around 1,900 calories I burn doing absolutely nothing.
But you aim to then burn another 1,000 on top of that?
Yes, because I like to enjoy food.
Yeah.
So if I have 3,000 calories a day, high protein, I have good plates of food, I enjoy my food, it's very sociable to enjoy food, I can have a chocolate bar and not worry about it, I can do that. Mm-hmm. If I need to get ripped up
Do you just have a chocolate bar and not worry about it?
Yeah, I eat chocolate every single day.
Do you? What do you eat?
I eat Galaxy, I mix up Galaxy.
Love Galaxy, it's not given enough time, is it?
No, exactly.
Do you take a day off?
It's tough. I struggle to sit down on the sofa and just watch TV. I really struggle.
You work out every day as well?
I don't want to say I work out every day. I'm active every single day, constantly. I struggle. I'm not sure if it's just my mentality. If I sit and watch TV all day, I feel like the biggest loser in the world. So I really struggle.
We won't ask you what your favourite series is then.
We will. Formula One, Drive to Survive.
That's good. The Peaky Blinders are back on, so that's good. I'm enjoying that. What else did I just recently do? Is Love Blind? Have you seen that?
Love is Blind.
I haven't watched it.
That is mad, but I've been watching that. People love that. My partner's been watching that. She's been making me watch that.
I watched the first series. I mean, I was totally hooked.
Yeah, you do. You just want to watch it again.
They are married together. First series. Yeah, I actually followed them on Instagram for a while. I was like,
did you?
You need to stop this now. This is unhealthy.
But no, I think that's just like even yesterday. It's my Sunday. It's my day off. Decided to do a 2-hour walk to Bermondsey to a nice market. Food market, went to Borough Market, looked around different part of London, and we got the train back. In that 2-hour walk, I did 1,000 calories.
Yeah,
definitely easier to walk there than walk back.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's just being active. It's just choosing. Because a lot of people go, no, I'm going to go to the pub, drink beer all day. It's just changing up your lifestyle.
And do you tend to do it earlier in the day and just get it done?
Best thing to do is wake up, get out of bed.
Don't even think about it.
Don't even think about it. Work out, and it's going to wake you up, and you're going to be so productive during the day. You're going to see a massive difference in your energy levels. People are going to vibe off you as well. Like, oh, he's definitely worked out today, isn't he? He's buzzing. Best thing to do.
Bradley, I've got PT at 7 o'clock tonight. I mean,
why do you not do it in the morning?
Yeah, that is the worst time.
Because my son goes back to school on a Monday morning out of London. Anyway, I won't bore you with it, but I'm knocked into the 7 o'clock Monday night
workout. When do you have dinner? After.
I mean, that is shit, isn't it? After. On that note, can we talk? I struggle at the end of the day. I find when I wake up in the morning and I exercise first, I don't need to eat first. Like, I just don't need it.
Yeah, I don't eat before I work out in the morning.
But in the evening, I have to eat something before I work out. Otherwise, I just, I want to pass out.
Of course.
What advice do you have for people when it comes to eating before or after a workout?
Depending on what time of the day. In the morning, I'm happy to do it like fasted. Get up, maybe have an espresso, bit of caffeine in your system to keep you going. If you're working out at the end of the day, get some glucose and you get some sugar level. Get your sugar levels
before.
Up.
Before?
Before.
With what? What would you advise?
Just a banana. Or maybe like...
You can have chocolate, I find. Chocolate and a banana.
Yeah. Well, I would say a chocolate bar. I wouldn't have a Mars bar. So a lot of clients used to do this when they obviously weren't educated with their nutrition. They were a bit worried that my sessions are quite hard. They started drinking Lucozade before my sessions. Like, what are you doing? We're trying to lose weight here.
Yeah, where do you stand on caffeine as well?
Caffeine's all right, but not too much of it. Yeah. So one coffee a day for me is perfect. In the morning, have that coffee. It's my time just to, after my workout, just calm down from my workout, a bit of coffee, and then I go again. A lot of people rely on coffee for energy, and it's not healthy. You crash. And it can actually really affect your mental health as well. So I always advise my clients to relax on the coffee for sure. Healthier drink. Beetroot juice is great. Beetroot juice is really good.
Oh.
It's horrible. I know it's horrible.
You couldn't pay
me. Absolutely rank. Yeah. I mean, it makes me want to retch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like drinking soil.
I know, but it's actually really good for your energy levels and keeps you going.
Sorry. No. In a salad, I'm all over it. I mean, soup or a smoothie with a beetroot in it. No, thanks.
Can we talk about grooming? You said earlier that you had been for a haircut. Were you on your way for a haircut?
No, I was. You guys asked me to do this podcast today.
We made you cancel your haircut.
Made me cancel.
Got you.
So I get my haircut every 2 weeks. I used to spend a fortune on my haircut. But my hair is fairly easy to do, so...
The amount of men, I've heard that so many times.
My husband spends a fortune.
I mean, horrifying. Mm. It's just not needed.
It's not really needed for us, Ben. Like, don't get me wrong, I've had some shocking haircuts. I've gone to a barber's before. I'm like, oh, do I have to go with him? Okay, I don't want to be rude. I sit down and I'm like, oh, what have I done? I've killed my hair for the next 2 weeks. So I've got my one guy that I use in Battersea. He's really good.
Mm-hmm. What's the salon?
It's just, I can't remember what it's called. I think it's just Battersea Barbers. It's just fairly simple, to be honest.
We need to know this stuff.
But yeah, it's so simple. But I found a good one. He's good.
Okay.
He's good.
And what is your, I mean, you're a modern, well-dressed man.
Yes.
In touch with his looks.
Yeah, I groom.
What is your grooming process on a daily basis, on a weekly basis? Do you have a masking Monday? I mean, your other half is very in touch when it comes to fashion and beauty, I'm sure. So, yeah.
So I like to keep my beard at 0.5 every single day. So 0.5 on the shave. Okay, always make sure it's 0.5.
So you use an electric
I never go clean shaven. I think,
why not?
I think my generation never go clean shaven. I think it's the older generation that always go clean. I think I my generation know. Always have a little bit of
a bit of stubble.
Do you prefer lower stubble?
I'm trying to think if I know anyone clean shaven. I don't know.
My husband, you do, you've met him,
your husband,
is he clean shaven?
I
look terrible. I look so young if I
clean
shaven.
My husband, yeah.
So I haven't done it for like 8 years.
I think the pandemic changed it for people as well when they started growing facial hair and not bothering about it.
Have you ever had a beard?
Never had a beard.
Have you ever gone longer than that?
Yeah, I have gone longer than that. I looked back at photos, oh, that didn't look right. I thought it looked cool at the time, but it didn't. So stick to 0.5.
You know it suits you.
Yes. Hot shower. I have a good scrub.
Do you have a cold shower?
I do have a cold shower.
Do you?
So open up those pores, clean it. So I have loads of product in the cupboard. So I use Clinique for men. Good scrub. Not all the time. You don't want to scrub your face too much. It's like twice a week I'll do that. And then I'll have a good moisturiser. I've got naturally quite dry skin. I had eczema as a kid. So I'm always moisturising.
Do you moisturise every morning?
Every morning, the whole body.
Yeah. That's quite a routine.
Because I've got quite natural. And I recently went on holiday to Mauritius, so I want to keep my tan.
keep
your tan, you have to stay hydrated and you have to moisturize.
Do you fake tan?
No, never fake tan.
Never.
My sister gave me spray tan once, and my beard went orange.
Yeah, it's not great for facial hair.
I'm not doing. And I stunk. I hate the smell of it.
Yeah, it's not great.
But yeah,
okay, so moisturize every day. Yeah. And then is that it?
Moisturize every day. Yeah, keep yeah. Keep
and that's it.
Simple,
nothing
yeah.
else.
Nothing else.
You don't do a mask.
I don't use any makeup. I don't do any masking. I think for my skin to look good, I think the most important thing is what you put in your body. Mm-hmm. Stay hydrated and obviously eat good food.
Yeah, makes sense.
Can we talk about some key moments in your life that you think might have made you the person that you are today? And maybe they spring to mind. If they don't, then maybe they're not there. And but you know, are there? Do you look back and think that you know you went through that adversity or that challenge at school or whatever, and that's made you especially resilient to the world that we're in now?
Yeah, I think we mentioned it before. When I was in a car, so I did my personal training qualification. When I hit rock bottom. My dream of becoming a professional footballer didn't happen, and I had to quickly adapt and believe in myself that I could do something completely different and obviously achieve my goals. That was tough. Obviously, lockdown period, adapting again. Mm-hmm. I guess it's all about adapting, isn't it? Life hits you with all sorts of challenges. That was tough. But for me, I think becoming the GQ personal trainer was really good for me. That was great. That was a great milestone for me. Built credibility, which was really mm-hmm. important. Because you're not just... When you grow a following, it's also important to build your credibility. There's so many people out there with loads of following, but no credibility.
Yeah, I think respect from the industry as well. Yeah, it means a lot, doesn't it?
Respected and trusted.
It's really nice that you named a positive thing. Like when the way you asked the question, I don't know, in my head that was automatically a question about what have you gone through and what have you faced? And that says a lot about you that you thought of something nice that has happened to shape you.
Yeah, you have to be. And something that I've learned and recently is like you have to applaud yourself when you've done an achievement.
Yeah.
For me, I've like for example, when I became the front cover of Men's Health, when I set myself as when I became a personal trainer, I said, look, I'm not going to win the Champions League or the FA Cup, what I wanted to do as a kid, but I'm going to become the front cover of Men's Health.
Yeah.
That's equivalent of winning the Champions League in my industry now. I did that. And at the time, I was like, what's next? I wish I'd really applauded myself and just rested and said, you know what, I've just smashed this, I've achieved this. So I'm learning that now, not to be so hard on myself because life goes so short.
Celebrate the wins.
Yes. Celebrate the wins.
Do you believe in setting targets? Like, I was going to use the word manifesting.
I manifest. Yeah. I'm reading a book on manifest right now.
Okay, wow. So you buy into it.
Yeah, massively buy into it. It's something...
Give us a scenario when you've manifested and what that was?
Well, yeah. Visualising myself on Men's Health. Or, for example, when I go to my client's house, they've got incredible mansions. I'm like, yeah, this could be mine one day. And I'm working towards that. For example, when I'm reading Manifest, I'm like, I don't really need to read this book because I'm actually kind of doing it. I've done it all my life.
Yeah.
And I guess that's a skill that I've managed to have. I'm lucky to have.
What's been the bravest thing you've done?
Bravest thing I've done is investing over hundreds of thousands of pounds into my app, I guess, or my own money.
Mm. And have you seen that? Is that...
Yeah, we saw that back in the first 2 months.
Wow.
So it was tough on the old bank account, but I trusted myself.
So that, I have to say, that spontaneous sounds like you didn't calculate the risk, but you know,
it's not reckless.
Yeah, yeah. It's not reckless. Yeah. It was a calculated decision, and you backed yourself and you believed in yourself.
Yeah.
Well, are you a spontaneous person? What's the most spontaneous thing you've ever done?
What's the most spontaneous thing I've ever done? When it comes to business or just anything?
Anything.
To be fair, I'm the sort of person that would fly to Bali in 2 days and just, easy, yeah. Well, I'm lucky to do that because my lifestyle, I kind of work for myself. I get to do what I want. Oh, at the minute, I have to really concentrate on building and obviously get it done. But in the past, I've just flown anywhere I wanted to go and just enjoy it. So I'm quite spontaneous. I'm quite spontaneous in my relationships as well.
And have you had many long-term relationships?
Yeah. I haven't gone over 3 years, which was, I'm not sure why, but maybe I'm 20, I'm still young.
Yeah.
How long have you been with your girlfriend?
So me and my partner right now, we've been dating for 5 years and it's going really
so you have gone past three.
True.
Yeah,
5 months. 5 months, 5 years.
Not the same.
I'm manifesting. I'm saying five years.
Okay.
I'm thinking.
Whoa,
5 years.
Well, you're in there.
No, that's going well, but it's cool. It's fun.
Who really inspires you? Like whether it's your industry or just people in the public eye, are there people that you look up to and you're like, that's the success I want, or they've really motivated me to do? Why?
Yeah, I think you've got a guest coming on after me, David Gandy. And for me, it's about keeping your credibility and staying high end, high brand. I think I've always had that. I said, what will David Gandy do? And that's what he's done.
Mm.
I've had big deals thrown at me from brands I wouldn't associate myself with, but would have been nice in my bank account. I've always said no.
I listened to a podcast with him the other day, Stephen Bartlett's.
Yeah.
And he said the minute he decided he wanted to be high end and work at the highest end, they overnight said no more catalogues, no more high street partnerships, that's it. And they rejected and rejected and rejected until they got only the highest end brands.
And it can be really tough because
he was lying on a boat in the sea.
Well, there you go. Exactly. It works for him, manifesting.
And it, yeah, it's really tough. Like when my managers throw really good deals at me, it's really tough to say no because, wow, that could be really nice about bank account. That's going to help me buy my next property. But you have to believe in the long process. And that's, I've always done that.
Yeah.
Are there bits of business advice, pieces of advice people have given you along the way that have stuck with you?
Yeah. You can't do everything by yourself. Have a good team around you. People who like who have expertise in different fields and can give you really good advice. So again, like swallow your pride and be smart and take advice of other people for sure.
And are there life rules that you live by?
Yeah, be optimistic always. Yeah, don't doubt yourself ever because there will be times you fail. But those failures are the biggest lessons which you can turn into big, big, big success stories.
What does success look like to you?
He wants that mansion.
It's not all materialistic. Maybe when I was younger, it was more materialistic. But as I've grown up, it's just about being extremely happy every single day, supporting my family and my friends if they need me to. And yeah, okay, why not have that big mansion as well?
If you had to give it all up now and the world of fitness was no longer an option to you, what would you do?
What'd I do? I think I'd have my own... dog walking business.
Okay. I think stick to the fitness.
Finally, last question.
Yeah.
What's left on the to-do list?
I am going to build my own gym, I think. And it's going to be...
a destination gym.
Destination gym and open up in different locations in the world. My own chain of gyms. Yeah. Dubai, maybe. Manchester, why not go to America? That's always been a goal of mine. And we're starting in London.
Great. We'll see you there.
Yeah, we'll see you there. We'll come and check it out. Yeah. Thank you so much. Great to talk to you. Great to meet.
Thank you.
And I need to get that app in my life.
Yes. Get it done.
That's it for today. If you enjoyed that, then do please rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends to listen to. And we will be back soon. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.